This is side two of a 60-minute cassette for an oral history interview with Ms. Martha Treadaway. Will Hall, 25 October, 1995. And Ms. Treadaway has some comments that she wants to clarify based off the questions from the preceding 30 minutes.
Man, we were talking about the incremental pay system.
Actually, the equity and payment for male teachers. I really feel like that today the salaries, for the most part, are equal. I don't think that male or female has anything to do with it. I do feel like that some teachers, not necessarily all male teachers, are given additional supplements, and many of these are coaches, and they are men, whereas I think that there are other teachers who sponsor things like student government or the annual sponsor or the newspaper sponsors, to my knowledge, are not given these supplements. At least when I was an annual sponsor and newspaper sponsor, I was never given a supplement. And I do think that there are a lot of hours involved over and above your regular teaching day. Now, things could be different today, and I guess this policy also varies from school to school and system to system, depending on the money available for extracurricular activities.
So do you think it might be a partial result of the strength of someone's personality? If we were in a board meeting and we were all requesting the same amount of funds, could a very strong personality overshadow the person who was doling out funds?
I don't think it's that at all. I think it's just a matter of where our properties are.
So it's not a sexist perception?
No, I don't think so, because we also have women coaches who also get something. And this could...
Moving on to the next question. There is an integration of black women as teachers into the high school. The reason for it was racial integration had just been ordered by the Supreme Court. From previous sources that I've talked to, Martha, I had, for instance, Mr. Messer. There is a concern about the quality of learning a black teacher who had been trained to lower standards could impart on students in the classroom. And I was wondering if you had any insight into that.
I can only speak for Jacksonville High School and what I remember about those terms. About a year or two before actual integration in the Jacksonville City system, a male counselor and I went to the Eastwood School several times each week to lead group discussions with the students who were to come to Jacksonville High School. Consequently, I think when the Eastwood School actually closed during the summer and those students came to our school in the fall, those students knew me and they knew him. They knew about our programs, they knew about our athletic facilities, our extracurricular activities, and they were beginning to feel a part of the program. I don't know whether you know this or not, but the principal of the Eastwood School was actually transferred to our school as an assistant principal, and many of the teachers were transferred. One teacher that I remember specifically who was transferred is still teaching at our high school today.
Do you remember her name?
I remember his name. His name is Elijah Slaughter, and he is teaching social studies. I believe he has Alabama history at our school today. And I think because of all these things, we at the high school do not experience many of the problems that other school systems have. I truly feel that we were all interested in the good of the individual and did what we could and taught in a way that we felt was in the best interest of the students. And I think that they realized that too. I was there for a very short while after we actually integrated, because I wanted, since I had worked with those students, I wanted to make sure that I was there at the beginning of school. But that's when I decided to, my first retirement, and that's when I resigned to stay home with the girls. And that was in 1967.
So that 67 was the year that the Jacksonville system actually put into effect the integration order. So
I believe that the Eastwood School was closed that summer. I remember going to the graduation at that time. I also remember I was the only white person at the graduation. I can't remember whether the other counselor was there or not. But I felt like those were my children, too, by that time. And it was interesting. It was a little different than some of our graduation exercises. I never realized how many presents some of those graduating seniors got.
That must have been a neat time.
It was an interesting time. It sure was. And I think after a while, I didn't realize. I mean, I was more interested in the individual than I was the color of someone's skin. And I hope I still feel that way today.
Because there seems to be I'm speaking as a superior-minded male around whom the world gravitates.
I don't know about that now.
was there a sort of feminine bonding between black female and white female? After the schools became one?
Well, we had a counselor who had gone through the Eastwood School and then came to Jacksonville High School, and I felt very close to her. I enjoyed working with her. She was a very high professional person, and she's still a counselor at the elementary school today.
Do you think the bonds of sisterhood maybe helped to break a racial stigma or a racial barrier at all?
I don't know how other people feel about it, but I just feel like it's the individual rather than the color of their skin. Sorry.
And I was just thinking about the common experience. If a woman's common experience is that, I don't want to say men are unreliable. Men are very volatile, and sometimes that may result in a need for women to rely more on each other. And I was just wondering if that need somehow bridged or was able to bridge a gap across race.
It possibly could be, but I had never thought about it like that.
Your sisters.
Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, I think very highly of the man who is still at the high school today. I think he is very good. I think he is certainly a good influence, not only on the black males, but on the white males as well.
Mr. Slaughter.
And I know very differently. He takes a sincere interest in his students.
The principal's name was
Johnny Brown.
And I remember Johnny something. I couldn't get the last one.
Johnny Brown. His son, who is a doctor in town today.
It lives over on White's Gap, I think.
I don't know where he lives.
Ms. Martha, this whole conversation has been kind of roundabout. A whole bunch of little issues that we kind of picked apart and dissected individually and just spoke to them. I was wondering if you think, or if you thought, have I missed anything in the whole picture of a woman educator in the South or in Jacksonville? Is there something specific to your experience that you think maybe should be addressed that we haven't at least alluded to?
Not really, except that I was a little curious as to why you didn't want to know a little bit more about my background. when you talked to me about doing this, you specifically mentioned the unique position as a counselor.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that I was in the classroom for a long time, too, and I was just curious as to why you were not interested in my background.
It's what I'm trying to do is look at women as educators in the South. And I want to be able to determine specific trends. Now, I could go talk to a woman educator and in order to get a base, and I have done that. But I think that a person who is a little bit separated from the day-to-day grind of 8 o'clock to 3 p.m. in-room teaching, this is exactly how it's going to be, this is our structure, this is the regimen we're going to follow. If you can divorce yourself from that somehow and view the people who are actually going through it, who better than a person who's there day in and day out, who talks to both educators and students, and who has a view for objectivity over the whole process. And, oh, by the way, by accident of nature, you're a woman. So you might be more sensitive to women's issues. I apologize.
Excuse me. We also talked to a lot of parents, too.
That's right. So I apologize for not knowing more about your background. What I did is I grabbed what I knew from the Board of Ed. And that you are an educator first makes absolutely no difference. You have a breadth of experience that a lot of people can't speak to. So you are unique in what you can offer. But you don't think that there's anything we haven't addressed. I know we talked about the 60s and feminism and progressive education and racial integration and deference and attitude and social society in general. Your experience appears to have been very positive.
I feel like it was. I thoroughly enjoyed it. A lot of people got very, very burned out, but I got to the point when I felt like that children needed someone who was much younger than I. And I still felt like that I was doing a very effective job. But I just felt like it was time to move on. I miss them. I miss the students. In fact, I have volunteered to help during some of the testing and have been back 3 days already this time.
I guess I'll ask you a final question and we'll end on that note. Or I'll try to close if I don't get too long with it. You had mentioned a degree of burnout. Work just eats at people. You know, it takes and it takes and it takes. And the demands on a woman are very high. I'm split in between my home and cooking for my husband. And I'm split between the babies. And I've also got to teach. And there's a need for a supplementary income. And I can't let my family down. Was there a higher degree of burnout, do you think, among women who were educators? A man, it was just his job.
Probably so, and I guess one of the reasons I say that, I have heard teachers say very recently, I can hardly wait until I retire. And I didn't feel that way. I had 38 years, all told. And I didn't feel that way. But I had a very supportive husband, too. And my girls were very supportive. So I know there are times if they say, well, Mother, why can't you do so-and-so? Well, I can't because I've got to be at school. But I feel like a responsibility then, too. But I think that they both understand.
So it may be an outgrowth of a changing society where we expect more from a woman. And you've got to be able to juggle it all. Otherwise, you're not a real person.
Could be. It could be. But as I say, I when the children were little, I just felt personally that I couldn't do both and do both successfully. And apparently I was respected enough and then my judgment and so on was enough that when I did decide to come back, I was so lucky that there was a place for me.
happy with the interview? Kind of. It's over.
And so there is one thing I want to say, and I really have not even thought about it this way. We were very fortunate. We had two counselors at Jackson Hospital. We had, even back when you heard me mention a male counselor, and when the first counseling job came over, the male got it. He was in English and history, I believe, and I was in science. And I always thought, well, he got it rather than me because it was harder to find chemistry and physics teachers probably than it was history and English. In my own mind, I always thought that. He was an excellent counselor, and I really learned a lot from him. And I hadn't thought about that
until... It's a viewpoint, and it's a good viewpoint.
This is the conclusion of the interview with Ms. Martha Treadaway on the 25th of October, 1995, in Roe Hall on the campus of Jacksonville State University.